Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. Let's start with headlines you need to know. Luke's not fickle. Coach Luke Fickell has decided to remain at Cincinnati after interviewing for the vacancy at Michigan State, sources have confirmed to ESPN. News first reported by Yahoo Sports. Michigan State looking for a new coach. Remember, Mark D'Antonio announced his resignation last week. Fickell was thought by many to be the heir apparent, but it turns out he will stay at Cincinnati, where he is 26-13, 2-0 in bowl games. Next up, the Lakers not getting the move that they wanted. Darren Collinson had been rumored to be considering a return to the NBA, possibly to the Lakers or Clippers. Well, Collinson has decided he no longer wants to enter the marketplace, so it leaves the Lakers looking elsewhere for help. Now, the Lakers expected to have an exploratory conversation with Deion Waiters in the near future. Remember, Waiters in Memphis just agreed to a buyout. And lastly, the Cherry on Top Award. Former NFL wide receiver Matthew A. Cherry won an Academy Award on Sunday for his animated short film, Hair Love. Cherry, 38, was a star at the University of Akron, spent about three seasons in the NFL on the practice squads of several teams before walking away in 2007. He now gets an Oscar, and by the way, shout out to my guy, my buddy Andrew Hawkins. Hawk was the executive producer on that. So, Hawk, I now want to see what an Oscar looks like in person. That's all I ask. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear, and you join us on the show. Penzo Performance Line. As you know, we like to ask you something every day from First Take. Get your take on it. So today, who should be the Cowboys' starting quarterback next season? We've given you some option. I even put it on the poll. You can vote at Jason Fitz on Twitter. Dak, Tom Brady, or other. Now, all of this comes as part of the conversation because WEEI had Michael Irvin on, and they asked about hearing Will Cain and Mike Golic Jr. talking about the possibility that Brady could replace Dak with the Cowboys. That led to Irvin saying he's had high-level conversations where that sentiment has also been expressed, but Irvin walked it back and said none of those conversations were with the Cowboys. It is at least continued the conversation of what's happening with Dak and what should happen next as they try to figure out how to win a Super Bowl. So ESPN football analyst Bobby Carpenter joins Stephen A. and Max as they debate whether or not the Cowboys have a better shot to win it all with Dak or Brady.
I want to be very, very clear. I'm not trying to say that Dak Prescott doesn't have a greater upside. Of course, you know, he's younger. We get all of that. He's completed 65% of his passes in his career. Of the 4 years he's been in the National Football League, he's only completed less than 65% of his passes one season, which was a couple of years ago. The reality is when you look at Dak Prescott, you've seen enough from him to know long term he's the way to go. But when we think about this specific question, Max, we're basically just talking about next season. We all understand, you know, Tom Brady's 42 going on 43 years of age. We understand. We just talk about next season. And what I'm saying to you is this. When I think about, understand this, Bobby, I've religiously told Max, when I look at Tom Brady, I think it's a travesty how people have talked about him this year, considering what Bill Belichick gave him to work with. Obviously, Antonio Brown messed up. Josh Gordon had to go, okay? You got guys like, you know, Jacoby Myers, not Jacoby and Myers, the law firm, Jacoby Myers, Lacoste, the tight end, I believe that's how he pronounced his name. You had 38-year-old Ben Watson because Gronk had retired. Look at all the stuff that you were working with. Tom Brady only had Julian Edelman to work with pretty much and James White. And so when I think about that, what he had to work against and what have you, I'm saying now take that particular situation and put Tom Brady with his experience, his knowledge, his championship pedigree in Dallas. I got Ezekiel Elliott behind me running a football. I got this offensive line that's going to protect me. I got a number one in Amari Cooper. I got a reliable tight end, at least to some degree, no matter how old he is, in Jason Witten, who could be somewhat of a security blanket. I've got others as well. Terrence Williams and these boys. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint. Gallup, I'm sorry. You got him going on. You got all of that going on.
Yeah, but
give Tom Brady those weapons. Give him those weapons, Max. And I'm saying, for one season, this is the key, Max. You, Dak Prescott goes along to get along. And I'm not trying to sit up there. That's not an insult. He's younger in his career. So you're going to defer to your offensive coordinator, Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett at the time. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Excuse me. This is what we need to do. Here's why. We're not going to forget about Ezekiel Elliott, who's running the football effectively. We're not going to forget about Gallup, who's got an advantage on the outside, on the right side, or the left side. We're not going to do those things. The fact that you have that leadership, who can, he can be a general on the football field, and you don't have to defer to the absence of coaching, I believe they had, in Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore, your offensive coordinator, I think that Tom Brady would have been a better option, or would be a better option.
We're even though that's not the case now, because McCarthy's Brady versus someone else, and talking about roster construction. You know, Bill Belichick has often not been good at constructing a roster that makes you say wow when you look at it on paper. But then you watch it function through the season, with and without Tom Brady. Matt Cassel won him 11 games that year.
That was 2008,
Matt Cassel won him. Okay, but
that
the point is he did. The point he did when Brady
12
got
years
hurt,
ago.
When Brady got hurt a couple years, well, he's been healthy.
Didn't you have? Did you have a bald? Didn't you have a bald head 12 years ago?
No, not 12, but yes, once upon a time.
Right.
But the point is, you're looking at old album covers. The point is, when Brady went down and Jimmy G and Brissett got what was it? 4 starts. They went 3-1. Like the sample sizes are small, but what we've seen is nothing but success from Belichick constructed rosters. Meantime, Dak is dealing with Jason Garrett as a head coach.
Max, they didn't have a single guy on the New England Patriots this year that would be able to win on the perimeter and draw double coverage. And because of that, you asked Tom Brady to do so much. Their offensive line was beaten up. I would argue that this Dallas Cowboys roster is a lot more like that 2007 Patriots roster than this New England Patriots roster ever could be. And so you bring a guy in like that who just has to pull the trigger. He doesn't need to be an unbelievable playmaker. All he has to do is distribute the football in big moments. And I'll tell you this. 9 times he has been to the Super Bowl. He has won these things. 6 times he has been unbelievable. He is the GOAT for a reason, and that's what we're talking about.
He's
not
the
regular season.
He's the GOAT because he is great, intrinsically great. Wherever he went, he would have been great. But he's the GOAT because he played for Belichick. Let's be very clear about that. Belichick could have taken a number of quarterbacks. They'd be considered the GOAT, not Tom Brady, had he had Aaron Rodgers the whole time, Drew Brees the whole time. They'd be the GOAT, clearly. Look, Brady, the record in Super Bowls tells you everything you need to know, Bobby. He's been there 9 times, won 6. They're all, like, within a score. You know, they're all within a score. So the fact that Brady, you're right, Brady gives you a premium. But what that says more than anything is Belichick puts you in a position to win, as does Brady. You can't totally separate them. But let's be honest here. Dak is doing what he's been doing, and what he's been doing is winning a lot more than he's been losing, putting up better numbers than Tom Brady, and he's a dual-threat quarterback. Dak has been doing that with Jason Garrett as his head coach. Jason Garrett is now an offensive coordinator. Bill Belichick is not only the best GM of all time, he's also the best coach of all time.
But here's what you're missing, Max. We're not talking about Dak Prescott with the Patriots. We're talking about Tom Brady with the Cowboys, meaning that all the things you've lamented about the Cowboys in terms of their leadership on down, that's what we're talking about. We're not looking at the talent of Dak Prescott and saying, excuse me, this brother can't play. Dak Prescott can play. A matter of fact, when you think about guys that got their money, the Carson Wentz, the Jared Goffs of the world, and others, clearly Dak is being disrespected. There's no question about it, which I've talked about for the last several weeks. You know, I think he deserves his money. He should get paid. But the flip side is, there's something going on in Dallas. And so when you talk about it, the leadership position at the quarterback spot, you got to have a guy in there. When he speaks, everybody has to listen.
I get
because
that
there's nothing
point,
about
Bobby,
his credentials that you can touch.
I get that point. And, Bobby, I get your point. But Tom Brady's slippage, when you look underneath it, Not just last year, the year before. You have to look at the numbers underneath.
He had nothing
the
to
yards
work with.
Per attempt, the all that kind of stuff has been going down.
There's nobody open. And here's the thing. You mentioned
nobody open 2 years ago?
Bill Belichick put him in those positions. A coach told me a long time ago, all I can do is put you in position to make
the
play.
I'm not questioning Brady's
greatness. You've got to make the play. You see, Dallas last year, they had a chance to win the NFC East and make it into the playoffs, and they ultimately didn't get it done. Tom Brady has done that time and time and time again. He is the guy, and the slippage is due to the lack of weapons.
No, it's not just due to
the slippage.
Hold on. 2 years ago, they had – listen, why do you think Belichick has designed the team the last couple of years behind? By the way, Brady also was playing on a team with an historically great defense for most of last year. Why do you think Belichick a couple of years ago wanted to move on from Brady to a player who played in the Super Bowl at quarterback this year?
So he could get away with continuously underpaying everybody. How about that?
Well, by the way, that might be part of the reason, probably.
Well, you're damn right it is.
But also, why did he construct the team the way he did behind a great defense and running game? Why? Because he thought his quarterback was going to take him there? No, because he knew he'd slipped and he couldn't anymore.
That's not it, because he didn't want to overpay diva wide receivers. Bill Belichick has never done that. It didn't work with Randy Moss when they had one of the best teams in the history of the game. So he said, you know what? When everyone zigs, we're going to zag. We can win in a different way. We don't need to bring in 3 and 4 elite receivers.
Hold on, Bobby.
We'll have other guys.
What do you mean it didn't work with Randy Moss? That was the season, the regular season. They went undefeated through the playoffs, went to the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. But I mean, my God, they were 18-0.
Seemed to work.
When I say didn't work, Bill Belichick's judging his seasons off one game. And that's the end of the season, and that's when he puts up those rings.
But Bobby,
was it Randy Moss' fault they didn't win that Super Bowl?
Right. No. Stephen A.'s right. The Giants' Super Bowls and the Eagles' Super Bowl where they lost, those are the three they lost, were basically the same as all the other Super Bowls. It was a one-score game at the end. You're not going to win those every time. Sometimes you're going to lose. But the Randy Moss team, when he's given Brady a great receiver, especially when Brady was in his prime long ago, by the way, Brady's balled out. He knows he's a game manager now who can be big on third down in the playoffs. He can't take your team there like a Patrick Mahomes or someone like that.
You're looking at numbers. You're looking at numbers. You're not looking at personnel.
Watching
you're not looking
games.
At
he's
what.
He's missing guys every way you can miss
I don't
a
think
guy.
You are. I really don't think you are if you're going to maintain that opinion
Stephen
about Brady.
Would you deny?
He hasn't had much to work with this year, Matt. I just think this particular season. I'm not saying there wasn't any slippage, but I think this particular season,
people like you
and others have judged him completely unfairly. He was given nothing to work with this year. Bobby wasn't on the show when I said this. Keep in mind that Antonio Brown, with all the noise coming his way, with the charges, that's why Max is smiling right now, with the charges that were levied against Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, a married man with children, invited Antonio Brown to stay in his home. That's how desperate he was to have a wide receiver. He was going to let this man live in his home. And I'm not attaching any guilt. I'm not attaching any guilt to Antonio Brown whatsoever. I don't know what happened. I'm just saying, dude had those issues, and Tom Brady was so desperate for a receiver, he was willing to give Antonio Brown free room and board.
The one game. He had 4 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. That's all you need to know
so
about
all Brady needs is the greatest receiver since Jerry Rice, and then he'll be fine.
Any
a lot of quarterbacks
receiver,
can
Max.
Say that.
Have Josh Gordon, Max, that would have sufficed if he could have stayed.
Yeah, for a minute.
You know, all right. Yeah, I mean,
yes,
come on,
yes, of course, if Brady has elite weapons, he'll look better than
if he
doesn't.
Why does it have to be elite?
Let's be honest. I'm being honest. Drew Brees, we've seen. His accuracy is the same as ever. Not as much zip on the ball, probably, but the accuracy is the same as ever. Tom Brady is missing guys every way you can miss a guy.
How do you know they're not
deep,
running right
short.
For him?
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We can add another quarterback to this conversation. Now, we have breaking news from Adam Schefter. This is the tweet, end of an era. Los Angeles Chargers and quarterback Philip Rivers have mutually agreed that Rivers will enter free agency and not return to the team for the 2020 season. So, at this point, what we know is that the Chargers, who went in and gave their head coach an extension this offseason, are entering the offseason with no quarterback at this point. Philip Rivers will not be their quarterback entering next season. So Philip Rivers now becomes part of this conversation, too, as everybody's looking. Again, I argued with Mike Golic Jr. all morning about this on Golic and Wingo. we can have the conversation all day long about what we think's happening. And this is really happening because Dak hasn't signed quickly enough. I still think Dak is going to get signed, and it's going to end much of this conversation, because what did we see? It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Zeke who, and the questions in Zeke's contract negotiation with Jerry Jones. Would it turn into some lingering effect that hurt their relationship? Well, Zeke got paid, right? And the minute he got paid, everything seemed to be fine moving forward. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Get out there on Twitter. You can vote at Jason Fitz. We've got a poll asking you who should be the Cowboys' starting quarterback this year, Dak, Brady, or other. So you now can add Phillip Rivers to that definitive other. Right now, overwhelming. Almost 75% of you have voted Dak. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation, 888-729-3776. Chris, in Illinois, who should start for the Cowboys? Give us your take.
I believe Zach. He's got a good arm. He can stay in the pocket. And he's got a good sense right now. But the conversation on Tom Brady, Stephen A., he's off the mark. Tom Brady, he can take anybody as a defensive, offensive, and work with him. That's just who he is. That's just how Tom Brady is. It's not that he's that great, but a quarterback should be able to work with anybody he has on his team.
Well, I mean, I thanks for the call. I think he has worked with anybody he has. I mean, do we think that the Patriots would have won more or less games last year if Brady wasn't the starting quarterback? I mean, the answer to that is less. The problem is quarterbacks take a huge dip at some point. Let's remember, Peyton Manning won a couple of Super Bowls with the Broncos, and you could argue that the Broncos won in spite of Peyton Manning, not because of Peyton Manning. As great as Peyton's career was, towards the end of his career, he wasn't nearly the same quarterback. The presumption is that Brady will hit that same wall because we're used to seeing it. Penzo has synthetic motor oils made from natural gas. So the next time you get an oil change, ask for Penzo. The proof is in the Penzo oil. We'll continue to get your proof on who you think should be the Cowboys' starting quarterback this season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We got a poll out there. Hashtag first take to get in on the conversation. In the meantime, last week on Showtime's All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, Kevin Durant was there, and this is his quote. In OKC, I played with a lot of athletes. I didn't play with a lot of skilled guys, not like shooters, ball handlers. I was like, I need a change. And this was before the season even started. I was tired of having to be the only guy that can make threes, make jump shots, and consistently make them. All of this has created the question about whether or not it was right or wrong for Kevin Durant, who basically right now is rehabbing and hanging out watching basketball, just like you and me. He's got a lot of time on his hands, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. The question is, is that okay? Stephen A. and Max talked about whether or not it was right or wrong to make these public comments about former teammates.
The last year in OKC, KD averaged 28 on 50% shooting from the field and 38% shooting from three-point range. Secondly, when he went to Golden State, okay, it wasn't like he sat up there and spectated. He was the man. Number three, and more importantly, I'm talking about during the finals.
Sure.
Number three, here's the key. He sits up there game one of the finals. He shoots a jumper in LeBron and them's face and then claps his hands and start guarding LeBron James. And he's like, let's go, as if to say, all right, I got a crew now. Now it's me and you. All right.
No.
That's what he was saying.
That's not a true statement.
But you got to remember. But to him it was, because the whole deal is in his mind, Max, if I got cats that, you know, can't close because they can't shoot, all right, then it's real easy for you to come at me like you all that. But when I ain't got to worry about that and I get to focus on me and you, oh, what we going to do now? And that's what he was doing with LeBron against that finals. And that's what I loved about it.
Had he stayed in OKC and they picked up Jamal Crawford, whoever you want to pick up, to do something like that, that would have been one thing, and that's fine.
I agree.
That's not what he did. We all knew going into that season and into that finals, LeBron and the Cavs had no shot to win because those Warriors were not going to lose. You cannot add KD to a 73-win team and lose.
But that wasn't his agenda. It's one thing. I get it. I understand that. And you and I both talked about it. We agree. There's no disagreement. What I'm saying is, listen to what he said on All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, and then go back and watch his demeanor in game one of that NBA Finals when he was up against LeBron James. He was saying, now I got you.
Stephen
now it's me
A,
and
I am
you.
Not
what's
here
up?
Saying,
watch me come at you. What you gonna do? The I same am. Way, Max, in a roundabout way to make you smile. The same thing that Kawhi sort of looks like he's trying to do to LeBron right now. What's up? Here I come. Let's get it on.
But the difference
that's
is,
what they were doing.
The difference is there's more balance. There's
LeBron's
more
older now.
There's more balance. The Look, you're arguing that KD is KD. Telling the truth, or at least his truth.
He is telling
no
the truth.
No doubt. I'm not arguing that. What I start out by saying, keep it 90. Give yourself a little wiggle room. Because
by keeping it
100, he's doing two things. He's telling on himself that he needed more help. It's like, yo, KD, you had to stack
he
the
didn't
deck
believe
to
in
win.
Him.
But KD's greatest days may be ahead of him. Because to win in Brooklyn, he's going to actually have to lead a team that may not win without him to the championship. That's one. And two, what is it? What?
I got a question for you, Max.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Max.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between KD, quote-unquote, telling the truth and telling on himself, and LeBron James losing his mind and being so defeated, whether it's with the concession speech in Boston after they won the Eastern Conference Finals and he knew he had to go against Golden State, or a few years later when J.R. Smith messed up by forgetting that the score, you know, was tied? Are you not telling on yourself then?
No, I will tell you the difference. LeBron tried to stack the deck in his favor, but never succeeded to the point where no one else has a chance. It really did come down to LeBron having to lead a team that if you substituted LeBron with another superstar, maybe they don't win. If you substituted KD with another superstar, that Warriors team still wins, according to me. You may feel differently, but I don't think you can add. If you added Paul George or Kawhi Leonard to a 73-win team without really taking anything away, they will certainly smash the league. That's what KD did. I'm saying that doesn't prove the same thing he seems to think it proves.
You're saying that, and I can't sit up there and summarily dismiss your point because it's not like they wouldn't have tried to add it. They would have been in the finals without question. But what I'm saying is there's levels to this. And let me tell you something. Let's say, for example, it's Paul George, who I love, and he's a star in this league. We all know that. But if Paul George had joined the Warriors, even though you could make an argument they would have won maybe 6 or 7 games, I don't think you would have heard a concession speech from the opposition in the other conference after they won the conference finals the way you heard it when you had to face KD. Because KD is a different level.
No, you're right.
He's
you would have heard the concession.
Level.
You would have heard the concession speech. The only difference is you would have heard the concession speech after the series, not before. But they still would have won.
Here you go. KD's
better than Paul George.
We need to understand something here. When all is said and done, we're going to be talking about KD in the same breath as the elite, the creme de la creme of the greatest players that have ever played in NBA history.
He's
on that level.
Yeah, they were just starting to get to their level. When all is said and done, they had a lot more to say about KD. You'll hear it throughout the course of the show. One thing I know, Kevin Durant gets everybody fired up. In the meantime, we've got you fired up. I want you guys to call in 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Who should be the Cowboys starting quarterback next season? Dak, Tom Brady, the newly free agented Philip Rivers. That's the breaking news we have today. Who should start? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. You can also get out and vote on Twitter at Jason Fitz. We'll get your thoughts on First Take, your take. We'll get some of your take. Plus, First Take on, will the Lakers win a title with their current roster? No additional players added to this roster. Can it win a championship? You'll hear the First Take on it. You'll do that next. But first, got to tell you about the Home Depot. Head to the Home Depot to find guaranteed lowest prices on top brand name appliances like Samsung, LG, and GE. Just pick out the latest models from top brands and let the Home Depot take care of the rest. Just visit homedepot.com/appliances and read product reviews to find the right appliances for you. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. What can the Lakers get done with their current roster? You'll hear what First Take thought next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I'm Jason Fitz. We want to know, who should the Cowboys start at quarterback next season? Dak, Tom Brady, or from the breaking news we have now, here's what the Los Angeles Chargers tweeted out. quote, in anything you do, it's the people you do it with that makes it special. There's so many relationships and memories with coaches, support staff, and teammates that will last forever. And for that, I am so thankful. As they let everybody know, Philip Rivers will be entering free agency. He will not be the starting quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers next year. So who should be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys next year? David in Indiana. This is an interesting concept here. David, what's your take on who should start for the Cowboys?
Just to throw out a couple different names that nobody's brought up, why not call Andrew Luck to play behind our offensive line? Or why not just tank it for Trevor Lawrence? Have Sunshine play for Mike McCarthy.
Well, a couple of things there, and thanks for the call. Number one, I believe if they tried to tank, that they couldn't tank. The rest of the roster is too good, no matter who's at quarterback, for them to lose enough games to get the first overall pick next year for Trevor Lawrence. And two, Oliver Luck was here last week. We asked him as we got ready for XFL. He said there's no indication that Andrew wants to play. I love the thought, though. I love the creativity. Keep hitting us up. At Jason Fitz, also 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who should be the Cowboys starting quarterback next season? In the meantime, while we get more of your take lined up, Stephen A. had plenty to say about the Lakers. Remember, the Lakers went into trade deadline, didn't get anything done. Then there was a question about whether or not they'd be active in the buyout market. Now, as their roster looks like it is set to be what it is, the question is, can the Lakers win it all? And Stephen A. is finally jumping off of the bandwagon.
Max, I'm jumping off the bandwagon, bro.
Tell me this is your Academy Award-winning performance right now.
Max. I was so disappointed they let Marcus Morris land with the Clippers. Let me tell you something right now. All year long, the Clippers have privately said this. And, you know, I've told you this off the air, Max, on numerous occasions. The Clippers have said, Stephen A., we got five dogs. I don't know if they got one. That's what they said about the Lakers. They said that the Lakers have superstar talent in LeBron and Anthony Davis. We had Anthony Davis on this show where, Max, you heard me ask him a question about people questioning his toughness, which he said he was aware of, and that's why he was working diligently in the weight room and beyond in the off season to get himself prepared for this year. We've seen him go down, get slapped in the face, miss games, et cetera, et cetera, knick-snacks here. We get all of that. Clippers are rough riders, man. And I still held on to the Lakers, the Lakers, the Lakers, because LeBron James, my MVP candidate, go show up, go show up, go show up. The two games he didn't show up was what, Max?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. And then now what do you do if you're the Clippers? You need help on the interior because you can't leave everything to Harrell. You can't leave everything to Montrezl Harrell, okay?
Right.
He's got to get some help. You don't have so much faith in Zubac. He's young. He's got promise. But you don't believe in him yet. And what do you go out and get? You go out and get a dog. And Marcus Morris, who, by the way, was averaging 19.6 points for the Knicks, shooting 43.9% from three-point range. So you got another three-point shooter who can also guard in the interior, who's an extra body, big enough at 6'8", 6'9", about 240, 250. We know what him and his brother did to the dude that messed with their mama. You know, these are rough riders here. You understand? And by the way, that is not an insult. I applaud both of them. I got love for both of those brothers because of that. But let's understand, these brothers are rough riders. And so when you got it like that, plus you can shoot the three, plus you add it to the Clippers, and the Lakers did nothing. Nothing before the trading deadline. I held out hope, Max, that they were going to at least get Collison. Because obviously when LeBron James is in the game, the offense is elite because of pick and roll. He's a threat with the ball and Vogel runs his offense. But without LeBron James on the floor, they have no guard to run their offense in pick and roll situations with Anthony Davis. How am I supposed to believe in them now? I'm worried, Max. I'm not saying they're going to lose. They can win. But the same confidence that I had, Max, is gone.
So wait, I want to get this.
Gone.
I want
gone.
You on the record. Are you on their bandwagon or off? You picked the Lakers to start the year. You still picking them?
I plead the fifth.
Oh.
I plead the fifth, man. I plead the
Ladies
fifth. Max,
and
I can't pick
them
right now. I can't pick them right now. I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this man has perjured himself. You started the year. Hold up. Yeah. I sat here before the year started when Kawhi Leonard, the best player in basketball, like the freak towers above the league, LeBron's doing amazing things, but when the games matter, Kawhi has their hearts, all of them. He snatches it. He stops them on defense. He scores on them on offense, and his team wins. I told you, wherever Kawhi goes, they win the chip. If he would have stayed in Toronto, hold up, Toronto right now is second in the East, brother. How would they be with Kawhi Leonard, and they don't lose anything? They keep the team and add Kawhi. They'd be favored. He went to the Clippers. They're favored. Told you before the season. I'm not trying to hear your Patrick Beverley excuses after the fact, the coaching excuses, trade deadline excuses. Kawhi's going to win in the end because he's the best player in basketball.
He's not the best player in basketball.
He's a step below the very best when it matters least, and he's a step ahead of everyone when it matters most. Look, Stephen A., before the season, I told you, that's a 48-win team. They're just dropping Paul George and Kawhi Leonard into a 48-win team, and they got Marcus Morris. Now, I agree with you about the dogs, but you knew that before the season started.
That's right.
If there's a non-defensive player who in the NBA you could say that's a dog, it's Lou Will. That dude, Lou Williams, even though he's not like known, he's an offensive player, but the way he plays offense is even like that. Patrick Beverley, now Marcus Morris to go with the superstars. Stephen A., Marcus Morris is not a shot blocker. They need shot blocking. It's not like the Clippers addressed what they really need. Ideally, because the Lakers have those trees, they got Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee giving you the best versions they could of themselves to go with Anthony Davis. That's not a good matchup for the Clippers. The Clippers could have used some interior help. It's not really Marcus Morris. He's about 6'8", doesn't block shots. No, it's not about they got what they needed at the deadline or kept what the Lakers needed away from them. Mm-hmm. It's that they have a really well-coached team. You said it with dogs all over the place, led by Kawhi Leonard.
That's not it. First of all, I'm getting really sick and tired of the raving about Kawhi Leonard. I know he's a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's a superstar, one of the top five players in the game. He's not the best. And, oh, by the way, you know what? He wasn't around in the Finals for 5 years before he got to the Eastern Conference without LeBron James. So I don't want to hear all of that. And the lucky bounce against the Philadelphia 76ers, don't get me started. But I'll give him credit where credit is due. Here's what you're missing about Morris, Max. And this is why I can't sit up there and look at the Lakers honestly like this anymore. Morris is an additional body to defend against LeBron.
Sure.
You already, you're going to throw Beverly, to undersize Beverly at him. You're going to throw Paul George at him. You're going to throw Kawhi Leonard at him. And now you're going to throw Morris at him. You got four different bodies that you could throw at the playmaker that is LeBron James. What's your secondary plan? What's your backup plan, Lakers? What's your backup plan, Rob Pelinka? I don't believe they have one against the Clippers, which means that I got to sit up there and hope. I got one hope, Max. I got to hope that LeBron James turns back that clock now about four or five years. It's all I got. I didn't feel that way until they got Morris.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Keep breaking it down. We want your take. Who should the Cowboys be starting at quarterback next season? Dak, Tom Brady. We just now found out Philip Rivers not going to be back with the Chargers. We'll get some of your thoughts on First Take, your take. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Give us the straight talk. Who should be the Cowboys' starting quarterback next season? Dak? Rivers? Brady? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take. First Take, your take. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll get some more of your take in just a moment. There's breaking news today. Philip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers are mutually parting ways. Now, one of the things we want to do on this, we give you First Take. We also give you your take, as we've asked you, to tell us who should be the Cowboys' starting quarterback next season. Dak, Tom Brady. We'll add Philip Rivers to that list. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Got a poll out there you can vote on. In the meantime, we also like to bring on some experts. So on the Shell Penzo Performance Not line now, we hop over and ESPN Chargers reporter Eric Williams joins us. Eric, thank you so much for the time on this. I know it's breaking news. What are the Chargers planning on doing at quarterback at this point?
Well, thanks for having me, Jason. I appreciate it. I think they're going to take a couple different options. Obviously they have Tyrod Taylor already on the roster. He knows the offense. He's played with Anthony previously in Buffalo, and he kind of fits what Anthony wants to do in terms of a guy that's a little more mobile and can run some of the zone read stuff. So they have somebody already there. And then I think they're going to look both in the draft and free agency and try to add as much competition as they can to that position. They have the number 6 overall pick. They haven't really drafted a lot in terms of quarterback position since Tom Telesco has been their general manager. They only drafted 2 guys, and they've been day 3 picks. So this is certainly their best chance to get a franchise quarterback to be a successor to Philip Rivers, who obviously had a storied career for the franchise.
We're talking to ESPN Chargers reporter Eric Williams. So I'll let you get ahead of all of the speculation that will hit Sports Talk Radio over the next 24 hours. Do you think Tom Brady is headed to L.A. to play for the Chargers?
Unlikely. I think in a lot of ways it does make some sense. Certainly it would help sell tickets to SoFi Stadium and give them a little more juice in the market. But he's older than Philip is. He'd have to come in and learn a new system and play for coaches he hasn't played before and for a different franchise when he's been with the same franchise his entire career. Obviously, being in L.A., you know, I think he probably would like that. I believe they have a home in L.A. So some of the things make sense. But, again, I think they need to get a younger quarterback that's going to give them the chance to compete against Patrick Mahomes for the next decade. I think it makes more sense for them to look for that replacement through the draft.
Any sense yet of what's next for Philip?
In talking to Philip over the last couple months before the season was over, he was pretty adamant that he wants to continue to play, that he's not ready to hang him up yet. Now, a lot of that changes once the season is over and you create some distance, you talk to your family, you kind of figure out what you want to do. He has moved to Florida. They have an off-season home there. It's close to Alabama where he's from, you know, originally. And eventually he wants to coach his oldest son, Gunner, in football. I believe Gunner's going to be a 7th grader, so he's a couple years from playing in high school. So I think if the opportunity presents itself and it makes sense for Philip, I think he would play in 2020. But you have to wonder, you know, what the opportunities are, what teams make sense. Certainly the Indianapolis Colts, because Frank Reich is there. Frank was his offensive coordinator with the Chargers. Nick Sirianni is also there, the offensive coordinator with the Colts. He was a receivers coach with the Chargers. And then Bruce Arians, I know, thinks highly of Philip. And that could make some sense as well. But again, I think there's limited options. And if he doesn't have a chance to start, I don't see him playing in 2020.
Real quick, Eric, before we let you go, 30 seconds or less here. Do you think that Philip Rivers can still win at a high level?
I do. But I believe offensive line is going to be important. He's got to be protected. If he's protected, he can still make all the throws, make all the plays. And he has playmakers around him. The problem last year was, their two main guys were hurt up front, Mike Pouncey and Russell Okung. So the protection was spotty, and therefore you had the turnovers. But if he's protected and has playmakers, I think he can still play.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Eric_D_Williams. Eric, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we're
sure,
going to keep
no problem,
giving you the best experts we can. If you missed the first hour of First Take Your Take, go check out the entire interview on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card, and 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? We're going to ask you, keep getting your take. Who should be the Cowboys starting quarterback when the season starts next year? Dak, Tom Brady, or we now know Philip Rivers, the free agent. We'll get your take next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. As always, hanging out on the ESPN app and ESPN News. 888-say ESPN, 888-729-3776.